Seattle, South Carolina, and all the ships at sea. How are you today, Ramona?
I'm good.
It's you. I'm talking to you. You can yell them right out.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm good.
Good. I seem like a little delayed reaction. I don't know if I was on a 7-second delay or something. You want to get in, 654-7627. It's an abbreviated edition of the program today, 540. Clemson Lady Tigers basketball coming your way as part of the ACC tourney later this afternoon. So if you want to get in, now would probably be a good time. Also, later today, a couple news and note items. Mike Leach is coming back to Road Rage at 4:20 today. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mike Leach at 4:20 today. And then tomorrow, Brad Brownell will join us in the final segment of the day at 5 o'clock, 5:05, whatever it is, to discuss how, you know, Clemson's going to the NCAA tournament. You know, Ramona, all the LOLers, all the, you know, remember the few LOLers who didn't think Clemson was going to the NCAA tournament and thought I was insane?
Yeah.
Remember those people? Well, here's a news flash for you. Clemson is now one win away from going to the NCAA tournament, barring something freaky. One win away. And quite honestly, I think the win can be either game. Can be either the Syracuse game or the NC State game. Win them both, you're absolutely in. But I think they're going regardless. One more win, and you go in the NCAA tournament. I think Clemson's going to beat Syracuse. But even if they don't beat Syracuse, they're going to play NC State in the first round of the ACC tournament. And if they beat NC State, they're still going. So right now, in all honesty, the way I see this is there are at least two games left, and all Clemson has to do is win one of those two, and they're going. And it could be either one. Win both, you're absolutely going. So all this stuff all along about, you know, woe's me, the walls are caving in, you know, fire Brownell, all this stuff. They're going to the NCAA tournament for second year in a row, and they're going to be a dangerous team if they get there. Oh, by the way, they won a game that was under 3 points, so you can take that little stat, which was meaningless anyway. We totally devalued that little stat when it was presented the other day. But that's gone, too. That's gone, too. Was it pretty? No. Did we tell you it was going to be pretty? No. I told you last night it was going to be very close, but Clemson would win. I also told you that Mooney was going to be a big-time problem, which he was. Mooney was a big-time problem. What do you have, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers? Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. But, you know, and Clemson didn't shoot the ball well, not from three-point range. What did the Tigers go, 3 for 12 in the game? You know, it's funny. Notre Dame was playing zone early. And Clemson hit 3 consecutive threes. And for the most part, Notre Dame abandoned the zone. I think probably they should have stuck with it. Probably should have played more zone than they did. But they did not. And at the end of the game, you know, when it was Gibbs, I think it was Gibbs who banked in the 3 from straight away from like 27 feet. When that shot went in, and I think they had made a 4-point lead, I thought to myself, oh no, here we go again. More absolute bullcrap, another garbage shot, and Clemson's going to be done in again on a ridiculous ending. But, Ramona, funny thing happened. The Tigers dug down and didn't let it happen. Marquise Reed came up enormous, huge in the last couple minutes of the game, hit a big shot under a minute, got to the free throw line, knocked out his free throws, steal on the other end. It was basically your best player taking over in the last minute of the game when you needed it. And you found a way to eke it out. Was it pretty? No. Will it look pretty in the standings? Yes. You know, listen, Clemson was due for some luck. This team has had no luck whatsoever. None. Zero. Every one of these games has been, I mean, honestly, it's just a series of ridiculous endings. Marquise Reed, a guy who's now made, what has he made, 16, 18 free throws in a row, whatever it is now? He missed 4 straight free throws at the end of the NC State game to open up the possibility that Beverly would drain a 26-foot 3 at the buzzer. The Miami game, they bank in a shot from 17 feet at the buzzer after basically a totally screwed up possession. It's a scramble situation. They have nothing left to do. They throw up a crap shot at the buzzer, and it banks in like a rocket. That shot couldn't go in a million years. It's been these kind of things that have happened against Clemson. And it was time for a little bit of luck. A little bit of luck. Maybe that's a sign that things are about to change in that regard. But the bottom line is this win moved Clemson one step closer to the NCAA tournament on a night that NC State lost to Georgia Tech. On a night that NC State lost at home to Georgia Tech. Fully opening the door. NC State's the strangest team in the tournament, by the way. You know, under the old system, the RPI, they would be completely out. NC State under the RPI system, their number is like 100. They're like 15 spots higher than any RPI team in history ever got into the tournament. But in the net, they were in the 30s. Strange dynamic at play with NC State, whereby under the old system, they wouldn't even be considered for the NCAA tournament. But under the new system, they are benefiting from it, at least until last night. And my guess is that Clemson has now supplanted NC State. And so you're in a situation now where forget anything beyond those two games. Forget whether if you won a game, whether you beat NC State and then you advanced, what happens beyond that. The fact is, barring something unusual, if Clemson wins one of the next two games, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Beat either Syracuse or beat NC State, and you're going to be in the NCAA tournament in all likelihood. Win both of them, and you're a mortal lock to be in the NCAA tournament. But, again, I think my belief going into these last couple games was if you beat Notre Dame and you beat Syracuse, you're going, regardless. And I think that's the case. I think the question is NC State going too? That's the question. I think if Clemson takes care of business against Syracuse, they're going to the tournament. And then the question is, who wins that game and do both teams go? And I think there's a really good chance both teams do go, in part because of the situation in the rest of the country. It's not only a weak bubble. And, of course, we can't project which teams will be upset in their conference tournaments, potentially taking away an opportunity for one of these bubble teams. We don't know that. We don't know that. And I'm getting texts just saying, you know, that at the end of the game, they were just waiting for the other cliche alert, the other shoe to drop. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I understand that. I mean, I think that's the way things have gone for this team. And it felt that way. When that three banked in, I thought, well, you know, it's over. That this is actually how it's going to go. That they're going to lose every single game, every single close game in some insane fashion. And it's just the way this season is going to go. But they didn't accept that fate. And they fought back in the last couple minutes. And I think a lot of that credit goes to Marquise Reed. He played like the best player. He played like a guy who still had more basketball to give. And I think you saw that late in that contest. So congratulations. Hey, look, they toughed out a win. That's exactly what they needed to do. It was exactly the type of game I expected it to be. You know, we told you when Clemson went to Pittsburgh a week ago, whatever, that Clemson would blow out Pittsburgh. There was never any doubt in my mind. Pittsburgh is not a physical team, not a mature team. There was never any doubt in my mind. This was going to be a different game last night. The atmosphere was hideous. You know, I actually, on my way in, I heard Ben talking about that, and he was there, but I absolutely saw that on TV. I mean, there was no atmosphere. It's the worst atmosphere I've ever seen on a televised Notre Dame game. Notre Dame is a place that used to make it difficult, but it's been a very disappointing season for Notre Dame, and so that building sounded like a church last night. I mean, it was absolutely evident on the TV broadcast. I mean, it just seemed like there was no crowd factor at all, which made it seem very much like the game at Miami, where you basically have to sort of create your own emotion because the crowd isn't going to do it for you. But I think Clemson was okay with that. You know, you're not going to get I think you'd rather go against that than a boisterous crowd. And so the bottom line is Clemson came away with a much needed victory and has now positioned themselves to once again make the NCAA tournament. And all it will take here, in my mind, is one more win. And as I said, two more wins guarantees it. And then there's this. Texas said Notre Dame had 8 players last night. Some of their best players hurt. Yeah, they had a hurt player. That's right. You know, Clemson didn't have David Scar versus North Carolina, or they would have beat North Carolina. So there's that. Said we had to tough it out, and we did. Exactly. Exactly. You know, look, you can't control those elements all the time. You know, obviously Notre Dame the last 2 years has been a team that has sustained significant injuries. But again, from an injury standpoint, if you just look back at the North Carolina game, I think a reasonable person would probably agree that had Clemson had David Skara available for North Carolina, that Clemson would have beaten North Carolina. So there's that. Right now, all you want to do is get in. You just want to get in. You have a team that is senior-oriented and a team whose younger players are playing a much better brand of basketball than they were earlier in the year. And that means your depth has improved. You're getting contributions from places that you didn't get it before. You know what the weirdest stat in this game last night was? Obviously, I watched the whole game. I'm looking over the box score this morning, and I saw a stat. Well, it wasn't a stat. It was something that came to me as I was looking over the box score. Clemson's bench played 58 minutes last night. 58 minutes. You know how many turnovers Clemson's bench had last night in 58 minutes? None. That's a shocking little number. The bench, it didn't even occur to me. I was just looking at the turnovers, and I was looking down the column, and I get to the bench, and I see all zeros. The bench played 58 minutes last night and never turned the ball over. That's a strange stat. Very strange. I don't think you'll ever see it again. Text says, well, you really think Clemson gets in with only one win versus tier one programs? Yes, because they don't have any bad losses. Yeah, I do. I think where they're situated in the net, I think if they beat Syracuse, they're in. And I think if they beat NC State, they're in. I mean, look, there's a theory that Clemson is competing against NC State for a spot. I don't know that that theory is true. I think there's a real chance both those teams get in. But if it is true, you know, beating Syracuse would enhance Clemson's position. Beating Syracuse, I think, puts Clemson in. Because I think that's a quality win. And then if Clemson doesn't beat Syracuse, or if they do beat Syracuse, beating NC State, if you are competing for a spot, absolutely puts you in. And NC State has lost 6 of their last 10 games, by the way. So they're heading the wrong way. They've lost 6 of their last 10 and their last 2. And that Georgia Tech game last night was damaging. That Georgia Tech game was damaging. So Clemson is right where they need to be. And so all the stuff about, as I kept saying, they're still going. And people kept thinking, you know, Ramona, I actually had one guy say, well, you're just trying to continue to support your position until it's proven wrong. No. My belief was they were still going. And from everything I could tell right at this moment, they're exactly where they need to be. And I still believe this. I still believe that if this team gets in, they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a problem because they have 4 seniors. They have an enhanced bench. You know, one little element at the end of the game last night that I'm sure people caught, and that is that when Clemson was up 2 with 2 seconds left after Trapp hits the first free throw, now you have another of these coaching situations as to what you do, how you play that. And what Brad Brownell elected to do was have Clyde Trapp miss the second free throw intentionally. Now, there are a lot of coaches. In fact, I think the preponderance of coaches in the country would not have done that. They would have had Trapp hit the second free throw to give you a 3-point lead, with the thinking being you can't get beaten then. That the worst that can happen to you then is that the game winds up tied and it goes to overtime. And this is a little bit of a gray area. I will grant you that. I think the majority, preponderance of coaches would have had Clyde Trapp attempt to make the second free throw. I believe that the pathway that Brad Brownell chose is the smart way. It does, in theory, open up the possibility of losing. If Mooney, in this case, throws in an 80-footer at the buzzer, it does. But I prefer it because I think the chances of throwing in an 80-footer at the buzzer are near zero, even though for a moment, with the flight of that ball that Mooney took, I thought to myself, oh, no, please tell me that thing's not going in, because that would have been the ultimate heartbreak had Mooney actually thrown that thing in from 80 feet. And for a second, I thought it looked like it was online. I just hope it isn't high enough. And I think that was the case. But I think it's the smarter basketball play than I always have in that situation, because your alternative is if you make it, You allow them to inbound it, and then in theory, throw it up the court 60 feet, and someone can fire in a three at the buzzer to send it to overtime, and then jack the whatever crowd was there up, and then you're headed right down that path again. I would rather miss it on purpose, let them rebound it, let them see if they can rebound it cleanly in the last second, and then heave it 80 feet. And if that thing goes in, it just goes in. And that's what Brad Brownell chose to do. And I think that's the right philosophy. I have always thought that. It's not related to that particular situation. This is something that comes up fairly frequently in basketball. It's another of those situations that can be debated. But I believe that Brad Brownell made the right decision there. As I said, that's exactly what I would have done. In fact, when I was watching my television to myself, I was calling to do that. I was saying, miss it on purpose. Miss it on purpose. Quick break. You on in? 654-7627.
Whether you're looking for a quick lunch, celebrating a special occasion, or just want a great dinner with friends, Carson's is your place. Featuring hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher, fresh-baked yeast rolls, and all the peanuts you can eat. Open every day. Enjoy happy hour Monday through Saturday, 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. with discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Try the golden fried catfish sandwich, filet mignon, or smoked ribs today. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Carson's Steak Warehouse and Saloon.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Made from scratch food goes perfectly with ice-cold beer. And at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville, there's something on the menu for every fan's appetite. Plus savory shareables like the new loaded tots, topped with a sunny-side-up egg to satisfy the whole table. The perfect sidekick is a featured rotating tap, served at a frosty 29 degrees in a 22-ounce man-size mug. Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
With 11 different apartment communities in the Clemson area, Burton Properties wants you to know there are apartments ready for lease. In the Heritage at Riverwood and Heritage Point, they have units available for any size you need, and they are also reserving for the fall. Please visit their website at clemsonapartments.com. That's clemsonapartments.com. Or call 653-7717 or 654-1130. Burton Properties is family owned and operated, and their family looks forward to serving you.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
The Thompson & King Law Firm, 222-0200, or online at thompsonking.com.
No one's better than Walt Deptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
He's going to punch you at 110%.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill, I could see the
Walt Tip Tulip Red Range. We're WCCP 105.5. The Roar. Jay writes, it's almost like players making plays help you win close games. Exactly, Jay. That's exactly. What happened to Paul? Paul was on hold. Paul, you get back in. Yeah, it's exactly right, Jay. It is almost like players making plays. Because, again, you know, going back to the way Clemson had lost some of those games, there's no element of those games that was coaching. None. None. You know, Clemson was the more well-coached team in each of those games they lost. It's just, you know, you're in position to win the games at the end, and you have to make some plays. And then sometimes there's this element of luck that is true in every sport, that which we talk about all the time. And sometimes these things go your way, and sometimes they do not. And it's often just a bounce of a ball. And this team has had less luck or worse luck than any basketball team I recall. And you had to think that at some point it was going to even out. You had to think at some point it would even out. And I think that we saw that. No, Matt, I see your little text, Matt, but here's where you have it wrong. If you don't think Clemson belongs in the tournament that is worthy of being in a 68-team tournament field, then you don't have a clue. I'm sorry, you just don't. You know, Clemson is absolutely worthy of being in the tournament, and I think they're going to prove their worth in the next two games. I actually think what's going to happen is they're going to win both those games. So that's what I really think is going to happen. It's not necessary, but I think that's what's going to happen. And again, Clemson was aided last night by the NC State loss. There was another game or two that did not help Clemson's case, but I don't think it's a concern. I don't think it's a concern. Yeah, Texas 607, they go in the tournament the last 2 years, which is, again, an advancement. It's outperforming Clemson's basketball history. So there's that, you know. So why me a river? You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. Again, Mike Leach joins us at 420 today. I just out of curiosity, Ramona, you haven't spoken to him yet, have you?
No, I haven't talked to him yet,
good.
No.
Good, because I have a lot of things I want to ask him, so we'll see how long he can hang with us today. I want to switch gears for a second and touch on the Los Angeles Lakers, because what's happening with the Lakers is just unbelievable. LeBron James last night became the fourth all-time league scorer in NBA history, surpassing Michael Jordan. So you would think it's a big celebratory time, right? You would think everybody was geeked up and happy and all that stuff. And LeBron himself went over and sat by himself and had a good cry. Had a good cry about the fact that he became the fourth leading scorer in NBA history. Here's the problem. They lost again. They lost by 16 points. When they were trailing by 15 points with 2 minutes left, LeBron dribbled the ball out of bounds. And the crowd, such that it was, started chanting for LeBron to go back to Cleveland.
No, they did not. Did they really?
Yeah, they did. Meanwhile, Rajon Rondo, another of the brilliant high-character guys on this team, went and sat by himself in a crowd. Went and sat by himself. Oh, now, I'm not talking about LeBron James three seats over. I'm talking about 20 seats over, 30 seats over, a completely different section. That's what I'm talking about.
After the game?
No. During the game.
Why he's sitting, LeBron sitting that far away.
No. Listen, Escuche repeating, Rajon Rondo.
Okay.
Another player on the team. Okay. Went and sat by himself.
Oh, okay.
So now here's what I have. I have a Laker team there where LeBron James is passing Michael Jordan as the fourth all-time leading scorer. And you would think it would be this cause for celebration, that all his teammates would be jacked up. A lot of his teammates didn't seem like they were even interested in coming over to him. And if they did so, it was very begrudgingly. It was not like they were not reveling in the celebration. LeBron was having a one-person celebration. And then he went and sat by himself and had a good cry about the fact that he had passed Michael Jordan. Meanwhile, his team is losing by 16 points. He dribbled the ball out of bounds with 2 minutes left, and the crowd starts chanting, go back to Cleveland.
That's not good at all.
I don't think I have ever seen a worse situation from a team chemistry standpoint, team unity standpoint in the history of sport. I think the Lakers right now are the biggest internal disaster I have ever seen. I'm not sure I've ever seen. I mean, look, I've seen bad teams. I've seen teams quit. I've seen guys who didn't like each other. All these things through the history of sport. But I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like this act. I mean, Rajon Rondo didn't like the fact that he got replaced during the game, and that he didn't go back in for a while. So Rajon just decided, you know what, I'm just going to sit by myself. LeBron had already been sitting by himself. Now Rajon sitting by himself. I don't know what the next step is. LeBron in the top row with Bob Uecker. I mean, it's an unmitigated disaster, but never in history have we seen a guy who becomes the fourth all-time leading scorer and passes Michael Jordan. None of his teammates want to celebrate with him. None of them. None of them are interested in celebrating with this dude at all. And of course, why would they be? He tried to get rid of them all. He tried to get rid of them all. He's not playing hard. He's not playing defense. He's acting like a spoiled brat. And then Rajon Rondo's on your team. He's an even bigger spoiled brat than LeBron. I mean, it's a totally unworkable situation. Sean says, everyone fails to realize it took James 16 full season to beat MJ at 15 seasons. I don't care about any of that, Sean. No offense. None of that matters. Michael Jordan has 6 championships and never lost one. That's all I care about. I don't care how many points LeBron James scores. I don't care if LeBron James scores 50,000 points. He's not Michael Jordan, never will be. You don't have to push Michael. You don't have to have role players pushing Michael Jordan around to get him to go play defense. I'm telling you, I have never seen anything like this. And in terms of Walton, I mean, this team not only has no respect for him, they are just trampling him. I mean, what a disaster from the top down. Magic Johnson, fire him. Walton, fire him. Bench LeBron James. Do whatever you have to do with him. Rajon Rondo, cut him tomorrow. I mean, you can't have this stuff going on. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's the most unbelievable, unworkable situation I have ever seen in sports. Ever. Texas said he tried to off his entire team. They hate the guy. Yeah, they do. So he passes Jordan, and LeBron's looking around to celebrate. Remember, it's a little bit like at the All-Star game. Remember when Dirk Nowitzki came out and hit those threes, and he's walking off the court, and people are celebrating with him and everything, and LeBron James came over to add to it, and Dirk Nowitzki just wouldn't even look at him, wouldn't even give him the time of day. The whole league hates this guy. Everybody hates him. The only guy who's ever liked him is Dwayne Wade, as we said yesterday. But his teammates hate him. It's just an absolute disaster. And then you have Rajon Rondo, who's like the biggest ingrate in all of basketball. I mean, you talk about total. Kevin Durant is totally disrespecting his coach in Golden State. Heard Bill Ryder correctly talk about that last night. That's exactly what's going on. It's unbelievable what Durant said. But these guys, LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, I mean, they have zero respect for Walton. They have zero respect for anything. Let me get Joe in here. Joe, how are you?
How's it going, Walton?
Hey, Joe, appreciate you getting in.
You know, it was definitely a weird night last night watching all that unfold. I mean, you can make the case that Rondo has never liked LeBron, so although he's never liked anybody.
Right.
If you want to be honest.
He's never liked, Rondo has never liked anybody, and nobody has ever liked LeBron.
I mean, at the end of March, I'm going to might have a chance to go to this thing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he's going to have a Q&A, and I'm hopefully going to have some questions for him. Where do you think he ranks as far as the all-time greatest player? Because he has six rings. He won, I think he won two by himself up in Minnesota.
Milwaukee.
I mean, Milwaukee, where do you put him?
You can make a legitimate argument that he's the greatest player of all time. Now, I probably wouldn't put him there, but I find it odd that the all-time scoring leader and a guy with six rings is sort of historically disrespected in the conversation of the greatest player of all time. He just is. I don't know why, but it seems impossible that a guy with that resume could be underrated historically, but I think he is. I mean,
do you think?
Go ahead.
I mean, do you think, as far as like the Broncos, don't you think he might leave this summer? Because I believe he has a one-year contract.
Joe, he's running out of places to leave too.
I know.
I mean, first of all, nobody wants to play with him. Nobody. So it's not like he can continue this charade, pick a different city and think that, all these guys, Kevin Durant and all these other guys are going to come play with him. No one's going to play with him. No one even wants to be around him. Everybody hates him. It's like he's a modern age leper now. And so I don't see how he's ever going to do any of this again. I think his Robert Horry days are over. I don't think he can do that again. So.
Well, as a Celtics fan, I'm enjoying it. So I know we haven't played really well, but I still think we can play well in the playoffs. So we'll see. Appreciate it, Walt.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, I think LeBron's days of moving to a new city and getting all the limelight, and again, he's the ultimate narcissist. I think that's over. I think this is it. I don't think you can do it again, because I don't think anyone's welcoming you anymore. You know, and certainly the notion of LeBron being able to go somewhere and create another super team, I think that's dead, because who's going to go play with him? I mean, you know, maybe the only nut who would is Kyrie Irving, because he's as big a nut as James. I mean, you know, the things that we've seen from Kyrie Irving this year, it's hard to know who the most immature player in the NBA is right now. Is it LeBron? Is it Rajon Rondo? Is it Kyrie Irving? Is it Kevin Durant? I mean, it's hard to know on a maturity scale which of those guys. I mean, they're all like 2 years old. It changes on a day-to-day basis with all of them. I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. I can't believe the things that Durant said about Kerr. I can't believe that what we're seeing from Rajon Rondo. I can't believe there's a player sitting 30 seats away from the rest of his team. I mean, you know, there's a still photo, Ramona, and I don't know what happened. There's a still photo of like a security person and usher in the stadium going up to Rondo when he was sitting there, almost like looking for his ticket, like thinking that the guy was, he was so far away from the bench that he was thinking that the guy was sitting in an inappropriate space.
That's bad.
Let me tell you about Lakeside Lodge. Lakeside Lodge, the new condo hotel under construction on Lake Hartwell. Look, we had Steve Mudge in and Lake Coverage the other day. And the project started with 118 residences, a mix of studio, two-bedroom, three-bedroom. It's an unbelievable opportunity. There's only one lake. The parcel of land is heaven sent. It will never be replicated. It's just idyllic for a Clemson fan. Can't get better. Well, there are now about 25 residences left, and it may be less than that. There are still quality choices available in every mix, in every size, but you must act now. You must. We're down from 118 to 25, and it was 25 as of the other day, so it may be less than that. The resort will include a restaurant, lobby bar with food service, pool and hot tub, walking paths, fire pit, meeting space, fitness facilities, even a small-scale football field for families to enjoy. There's nothing like it. Modified hotel services, so you can mess it up without cleaning it up. This is Lakeside Lodge. Condo owners will have the option of renting the residence while they aren't using it, or in the case with most of the 2 and 3 bedroom units, you can lock off portions and rent part of it. Taj Boyd is leading the way. You have to go see him. Don't waste any more time. It's that old adage, you snooze, you lose. 906 Tiger Boulevard, right next to Ruby Tuesday. Go see Taj before it's too late. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break. You want in, 654-7627.
Join 105.5 The Roar for The Mark Childress Show, sponsored by S.H. Carter. Co-host of the Tiger Tailgate Show and weekend sports anchor at Channel 7, Mark Childress interviews your favorite players and takes a hard look at recruiting. The Mark Childress Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m., only on 105.5 The Roar.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Start your day off right with a country ham biscuit. Traditionally cured, grilled country ham served on a made-from-scratch biscuit. For a limited time, get 2 country ham biscuits for just $3. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Calling all superheroes. Do you wish there was a way to make extra money while helping others in need? Now is your chance. BioTest Plasma Center in Clemson is seeking plasma donors who will be compensated for their time and travel. New donors can earn $50 on each of their first 5 donations. Repeat donors earn up to $310 a month. Walk-ins welcome. Become a superhero and save lives. Schedule your appointment and get more info at biotestplasma.com. Again, that's biotestplasma.com.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One. Trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Ready SC, in cooperation with Industrial Plastics Group, is currently seeking maintenance technicians at the TaylorMade facility in Liberty. Qualified candidates must have a technical degree in mechatronics or industrial maintenance and be willing to work any shift. For more information and to apply online, go to sctechjobs.com. Industrial Plastics Group is an equal opportunity employer.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is the home of the lifetime warranty. At Granger Nissan, we are all about family, so we are looking for a play ball kid for every Clemson weekend home game. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson to register your kid. You don't have to do anything, and nobody's going to pressure you into buying a car. Simply come by and register your kid to stand at home plate and shout, play ball. You'll get 4 tickets to the game, and your family and your kid will get an experience they will always remember. Granger Nissan of Anderson, proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
Message and bigger rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses right here in Greenville and Spartanburg? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll be introduced to our 3-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Stan Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Greenville and Spartanburg area who want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Greenville and Spartanburg are perfect markets for my system. And this week, I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where we'll share how to get started making money flipping houses and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Fan's workshop, text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. Zero Res, Greenville.com.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Are we ready for the game?
Yeah. Now back to Walt and Ramona.
We'll be right back. Walt Dipchula, Red Rage, Red WCCP, 105.5 The Roar. You want in, 654-767. Texter 328 writes, this is still a disappointing year, even if we barely slip into the tournament. This was supposed to be a top 15 team. How do you know it's not? The point is, it depends how it ends, right? I mean, you're not judging that yet, right? I mean, if they get in and they wind up in the Sweet 16, would it be a disappointing year? I'm pretty sure it matters how it ends, not really what happens at the beginning. See, if it mattered what happened in the beginning, then the New England Patriots wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. Because remember, everyone was counting them out after those first few weeks of the season. By the way, Ramona, where's Matt? What happened to Matt? Matt, do you remember how Matt was writing us before the playoffs, calling us, rather, like 10 times before the playoffs, saying New England wouldn't win a game, they were going to be eliminated in the first game? We've never heard from Matt since.
Matt, brother of Joe.
Yeah, Matt, brother of Joe.
I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Matt since then.
I have a text on the health care text line I wanted to read.
Yeah, go ahead, read.
Brandon from Easley, It says, hate to change the subject, but is DK Metcalf a legit first-round pick? I see predictions with him in the first round.
Yeah, he's a legit first-round pick for the circus.
I guess not, man.
You know, again, look, here's my opinion on Mr. Metcalf. I would not touch him with someone else's 20-foot pole. I am not interested in Metcalf in any way, shape, or form. I don't like anything about him. I just don't. He's a jacked up, and I'm not saying steroids. I am not saying that. I'm not accusing anybody of that. What I'm saying is he is a jacked up, straight line athlete, too tight, way too tight, no flexibility, no short area quickness. The game is not played in a 40-yard straight line. The only thing Metcalf is good for, as I said yesterday, would be getting my mail. I have a long straight driveway, and if I wanted my mail as fast as humanly possible, I could send him to get it. Otherwise, I have no use for Mr. Metcalf. Is he going to be drafted in the first round? Yes. Yes, because someone will be enamored. Some Al Davis type will be enamored by his 4.33 speed and his apparent physicality. But the smart people will not get it twisted. He's barely even a football player. You know, I'm seeing these idiots at the combine, and they're showing him next to Julio Jones. They're comparing him to Julio Jones. Julio Jones? Metcalf is not in Julio Jones's universe. Metcalf can do one thing. He can go in a straight line. He is what you people have listened to me for years. He is what I always refer to as a straight line athlete. He's like a lot of track sprinters. They condition all their muscles to go in a straight line. They have no flexibility. The receiver position in the National Football League, there's something called a route tree in football, all right? There's only one of them that goes in a straight line. So apparently Metcalf is going to have a really small, limited route tree. You know, and by the way, how long do you think it will take NFL DBs to catch on to that? Now, I have zero interest in Mr. Metcalf. I wouldn't draft him at all. Not at all. Right. Dexter writes, look at DK's numbers from college. Not impressive. Exactly. The guy didn't even rule in college. He didn't even rule in college. He wasn't even a dominant figure in college. You know, NFL quarterbacks are going to be doing the backward moonwalk laughing at Metcalf. You know, all he can do, in theory, all he can do is take the top off of defense. Yeah, against maybe college cornerbacks. Newsflash, every NFL cornerback can run. They can all run. Metcalf's not running away from those cats, especially when they know he can only run a straight line. There's nothing else they have to worry about. They don't have to worry about any other element of Metcalf. None. So there's the answer. I mean, again, I would not touch Metcalf. I would have zero interest. But if the question is simply, Dex says, can we use Metcalf's straight line speed to go get our chili cheese fries at Carson's? Yes, maybe that. maybe we could do that. But yeah, no, the bottom line on Metcalf is there will certainly be gullible teams who will be lured in by what he looks like and how he runs. And of course, those teams will later find out that he's really not a receiver at all. You know, and the reason I said, yeah, by the circus is because remember that story I told one time, Ramona, about the guy, and all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank on his name. It'll come to me. There was a guy who played for Bill Snyder at Kansas State who was an undersized defensive tackle. He was like 285, and he was a transfer out of Syracuse, and this was many years ago now. He was a transfer out of Syracuse. In high school, he had won the Massachusetts State bench press. He had set a record. And at Kansas State, he bench pressed 760 pounds or something like that. Some insane figure. World-class type figure. And Bill Snyder was asked one time if he had a future. And Snyder responded by saying, yeah, in the circus as the strong man.
Because it didn't do him any good.
Because I think Snyder thought he was all sorts of jacked up, but whether he was or not, he was an undersized defensive tackle with little short Mr. Potato Head T-Rex arms, and the bench press is the realm of the short arm man. It has no practical application for playing football. It's not a measure of functional football strength. So because you can bench press 700, here's what it means, Rona, in real football terms. Because your 285-pound defensive tackle with T-Rex arms can bench press the world 760 pounds does not mean you can line him up against the 325-pound offensive guard and think he's going to hold his position because he's just going to get drilled. And that's what happened with that cat every single time. You know, it was wonderful that he could bench press the world, but every offensive lineman who was above 300 pounds just destroyed him. Just destroyed him. So there's that. What's the rest of that text from Perry, Ramona? I'm missing something there. Terrell Owens to LeBron James. I'm missing the rest of that text somehow. You want to get in 654-7627. Again, Mike Leach coming your way later today. I do want to say this. By the way, the Kyler Murray situation continues to evolve on a day-by-day basis. You want to get in 654-7627.
This one, I think you have it all. It says text comparing.
Wait a minute. Joshua writes, Metcalf's route tree will resemble a Bama fan's family tray. That's about right. I want to get to Kyler Murray. And again, we have Mike Leach coming your way at 4:30 today, or 4:20 today. But I want to talk for a second about Tyree Jackson. Andrew, I'm coming right to him. When you go beyond Kyler Murray, beyond Dwayne Haskins, and then perhaps beyond Luck, or Drew Lock rather, when you go perhaps beyond Drew Lock, I'm out on Daniel Jones. I'm out on most of these other cats. The only other guy I'm in on is Tyree Jackson. I'm in on Tyree Jackson. And I have said this before, and people have listened to the show have heard me say this. I find Tyree Jackson to be, in some ways, the most intriguing quarterback in the last decade. And I have concerns about him, and I've voiced those concerns. I have told you the history. The history is the quarterbacks over 6'6" have never succeeded in the National Football League, never. Everyone's always worried about the short quarterbacks, but the tall quarterbacks have never succeeded. And the reason that the tall quarterbacks don't succeed is because the release is too slow, too long, and because when your arms are that long and when there's that much arm and leg, there's just too many moving parts. In other words, what you want to be able to do as a quarterback is a quick release, a short, compact motion. Consider it like a baseball player who has a short, compact swing and can still drive the ball versus a guy who has a long, Dave Kingman-like swing who's 6'6" and who strikes out a lot. Therein lies the difference. It is why historically speaking, no quarterback over 6'6 has ever had success in the National Football League. Now, you could fairly say how many of those guys are there. Well, it's not an inordinate amount, but there certainly have been a number of them through the years. And none of them have succeeded. None of them. And so that's what Tyree Jackson faces. He faces that issue. And I want to explain what I like about Tyree Jackson and why I think he may be the guy to overcome some of this. And if he does, he could wind up the ultimate steal in this whole draft. Andrew, is that Matt, Ramona? New England Patriot hating Indy cult loving Matt?
Yes.
Good. Good. We need him back. Andrew, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, the whole Metcalf thing is just funny to me. But remember Renato Nehemiah?
Yeah. Track athlete.
I mean, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a guy that has that kind of speed, and I mean, he did okay with the 49ers simply because back then defenses were different, offenses were different, and having that one guy that was just faster than everybody on the field sometimes made a difference, but not really. I mean, he never did much. These days, a guy like that, it's not going to do anything because all the defenses are set up against the pass. But that's what I think about when I look at that guy. It's like, oh, here's this guy that's really fast and has no football skills. And that's about what he can do.
Well, and again, he looks like a weightlifter, but he's all jacked up. And look, anyone who's even in combat sports, you know, you can't tighten up certain muscle groups or you can't even throw a punch. Well, I mean, this guy is so wound up that he has zero flexibility. I mean, zero. I mean, in the short area quickness drills at the combine, he set the historical worst marks ever. And people are going to draft him because he can run fast in a straight line. I mean, you know, there are always stupid teams in the NFL, and I guess one of those stupid teams is going to draft Metcalf, but that's going to end badly.
Yeah. Somebody's going to spend some money, and it's going to turn out badly. And, I mean, it happens with just about every draft. I mean, who was the monster offensive lineman? He ended up with Green Bay.
Tony Mandrich.
Yep. Tony Mandrich. There's your guy.
Yeah, counted all his pancake blocks in college, made the cover of Sports Illustrated, tested positive for steroids, and then turned into a mediocre lineman for a bit. Hey, Andrew, I have to run. I appreciate the call. Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you. Matt, I'm coming right to you on the other side, Matt. Welcome back. I thought he was like in the witness protection program or something. I put out put out all sorts of warnings and alerts for him. I thought I saw him on a milk carton. Let me tell you about Absolute Waste Management. Got junk? Absolute Waste Management specializes in residential and commercial waste removal services for bulky unwanted items like furniture, appliances, construction debris, yard waste, all of it. They offer clean-out services for evictions, garages, attics, rental properties, estate liquidations, foreclosures. They also offer business clean-outs of stock rooms, old unused equipments, apartment clean-outs, barns, outbuildings, storage units. Stop tripping over it. Stop stepping around it, ignoring it. Get rid of it. Listen, you have old tires in your yard. Old tires are not planters, people. You don't paint them white and make them planters. They're hideous. You call my friends at Absolute Waste Management, you get them hauled off. It's Absolute Waste Management. They'll get your job done quick. Locally owned and operated, no hidden fees, straightforward pricing, no job too big or too small. Get your house cleaned up today. Get your property cleaned up. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Make the call. Schedule an appointment. Say goodbye to the junk, debris, or clutter. 864-266-7131. 864-266-7131. We'll be right back. Matt, you're up next.
Safe at home plate in the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.
Are you tired of eating greasy fast food for lunch? Stop in at Carson Steak Warehouse and try their daily lunch specials like cheesy steak quesadillas, delicious bacon cheeseburgers, barbecue sandwiches, and more, all under $8. Also, check out their early bird specials from 3 to 6. Ditch the fast food. Eat fresh at Carson's and Anderson, 150 West Beltline Boulevard in Anderson, besides Tucker's. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Again, that's carsonsteakwarehouse.net.
See how easy it is to turn your backyard into a fun yard with a custom home pool or vinyl pool from Aqua Pool Care. Imagine relaxing on your tanning ledge, overlooking cascading waterfalls, highlighted by custom LED lighting. Aqua Pool Care offers financing on your new virtually maintenance-free pool. Get that eco-friendly saltwater pool you've been dreaming about. Call the